Our gospel reading today comes from Mark, the first chapter. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." You may be seated. I invite you to pray with me this morning. Holy God, you have a word for us today, a word of comfort and a word of challenge, a word of hope and a word of guidance for our lives. Make our hearts soft. Plant your word in us that it may bear fruit through our lives. Amen. How many of you have ever struggled with your sense of identity? Anybody else out there? Good, it's not just me. That was going to be real awkward for the rest of the morning. What about your sense of purpose, right? There are, I think, two existential questions that every human being wrestles with throughout their lives, at least at some point. One of those is, who am I? That sense of identity. And the other is, why am I here? Our purpose. And there's no shortage of messages out there in the world trying to tell us who we are or why we should exist, right? All you have to do is turn on the TV and watch a few commercials that speak to this reality deep in our hearts. Have you noticed that? Our family likes to watch some shows together in the evening, and we always make fun of some of these commercials because sometimes they're so outrageous. For example, did you know that if I go out and buy the latest brand new Jeep Cherokee, that my life will have meaning and purpose? My whole family will be happy, I'll be fulfilled, I'll get to take so much vacation and drive to the most scenic parts of the country. It's just an incredible promise. Or one of the favorites that we make fun of a lot is there's a laundry detergent commercial that recycles on Peacock when we're watching Parks and Recreation. And we don't really think a lot about our laundry detergent, but apparently if you buy this one, it is so good that even Grandpa, who's been grumpy all these years, will smile again. And your son that's been off at college will come home more often. And it's just kind of ridiculous, right? There are all these messages in the world trying to fill us with this sense of purpose or identity, and not just commercials, in all kinds of ways, right? And for people searching for identity and purpose in this modern world, there are infinite voices out there trying to influence us and inform us. And sometimes living in this modern era, it can feel like this sense of exciting freedom because we have the ability to do whatever we want to do with our lives, to become whoever we want to be. And yet this cacophony of influence, this nonstop kind of coercion and co-opting of identity, it can be confusing. It can be deafening. It can even be destructive. If we want to find our true identity and experience the abundant God-first life we were created to live, then that identity must come first and foremost from God. And so today we're going to talk about a little bit what the world says about who we should be versus what God says about who we are. And the fundamental difference is this: the world gives us an if identity, but God gives us a beloved identity. And we're going to dig into that today. But before we start there, I want to go back a little bit and think back in the ancient world in Jesus' day. And actually, for much of human history, identity was something that in a lot of ways was relatively fixed by external factors that didn't change, right? It was given to you. You were a part of this family. It was determined by your social class or where you were born or what trade or career you took on, often families for generations, right, in the ancient world. But then Jesus comes along and he challenges all of that. In so many ways, it's like Jesus was saying, all of these characteristics that may well be fixed in your life, you think that they are your identity, but in actuality, they're just external facts. The real identity, your true identity, the one that actually matters is this: you are a beloved child of God, and you bear the image of God in you. And so in Jesus' day, People were all so often labeled by these external identities and put into these categories. So Jesus comes along and he looks at people and he sees them truly and says to someone, you know, are you a slave? You might be a slave. That might be your life, but that's not who you are. You are a beloved child of God. You are a child of the one who created the universe. The God of the heavens and the earth is your father. You are a child of God. That is who you are. Are you a wealthy aristocrat? You might be, but that's not your identity. That's not who you are. You too are a beloved child of God. And the list could go on and on. Are you a peasant? Are you a beggar? Are you a soldier? Are you a ruler? First and foremost, you are a beloved child of God. You are made in the image of God. That is who you are. And that is something that nothing and no one can ever, ever take away from you. And it's like Paul writes in Galatians chapter 3, he says, there is no longer Jew nor Greek, there is no longer slave nor free, male and female, all of you are now one in Christ Jesus. All of these external characteristics, they might still be the reality in which you live, but they are not who you are. And so if the challenge of Jesus' day for the people then was this kind of fixed identity where people were stuck in boxes or labels or categories or classes, I think the challenge in our modern world today is the if identity. You see, with all the freedom and mobility that this modern world has to choose our own path, the threat to the beloved identity God gives today isn't this fixed identity of the ancient times, but it's the if identity. It says things like this. The world says, if you are successful enough in your career, if you earn enough money, then you are really someone. Then you have a solid identity. Or how about this one? If you meet society's standards of beauty or masculinity, then you are someone special. Your appearance. Or the list could go on. If you are a good enough person, if you're nice enough or smart enough or popular enough or talented enough or athletic enough or whatever the enough is, if you meet the criteria, then you have a solid identity, then you are really someone. That's the if identity. And the problem is that when we begin to trust in any of these external things to give us our life and our identity, whether that's bad things or good things, they become an idol to us, a false god. And I love how Martin Luther talks about this in the Large Catechism. It's still so relevant today. He writes this, "To have a God is nothing else than to trust and believe in that one with your whole heart. As I have often said, it is the trust and faith of the heart alone that make both God and idol. Anything on which your heart relies and depends, I say that is really your God." So friends, what are the different if identities that you have had in your life? What are the different if identities that you're struggling with today? One of my professors back in seminary said something I'll never forget. And our professors in seminary said a lot of things, and I'm sure they thought everything was relevant and you should never forget it. But I forgot most of them, but some things stick with you, right? He said this, "It's never our weaknesses or our vices that become our greatest temptation. It's always our gifts that become the greatest temptation." And at first, I didn't quite understand what he was talking about until I thought about it more, and I realized that was so true in my own life. I mean, as I was growing up and trying to figure out who I was in the world, you may have heard me say this before, but I grew up in a small town farming community in Iowa that was about this big by this big. There are more of you in the room this morning than my entire town, I think. And so I was, from a young age, I was really into music, and I got into music, I became a musician, and I started to be known as the kid who was really good at music. And in fact, I became known as the one who was the best at music, which isn't really a brag, because again, there were like 20 people in my class. But still, that's what I built my identity on. And so I thought, man, I'm that guy that's the best at music. So I went off to college and I majored in music at a school that was really well known for good, high quality music. And guess what? I got there and I was no longer the best musician. In fact, I wasn't even in the top 90%. I was average at best. And everything I had built my identity on instantly was kicked out from under me. I was struggling again with who am I? I think that's the season in my life where I first started to lean into Jesus and build my identity on something different. It's so easy, it's so tempting to build our identity, our worth on our gifts, on our achievements, on our accomplishments, but these things, they're always fragile, they're always fallible. Should we be proud of them in our lives? Yes, absolutely. But the foundation of our identity, that has to be built on something deeper. That has to be built on what God says about us. So what does God say about you? I wanted to share a few Bible verses that I think really speak to this in our lives. The first is from Genesis chapter 1, the very beginning of the Bible. It says this, "Then God said, 'Let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness.'" And then a few verses later, it completes the idea. "God saw everything that God had made, and indeed it was very good." This word "very" is so important because God had already made the heavens and the earth and volcanoes and supernovas and oceans and sea creatures and said, "That's pretty good." But when God looks at you, human beings, God says, "Now that's very good." Psalm 139, we heard part of this today. "For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Wonderfully made. God knows you fully. You are wonderfully made. Notice it doesn't say some people are wonderfully made or other people. No, you are wonderfully made. In John, 1 John chapter 3, we read this, "See what love the Father has given us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are, God's children." And one more, John chapter 15, Jesus himself says this, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Friends, hold these words closely. Hear them over and over and over again because there are so many voices out in the world trying to tell you a different story about who you are. And what I love about Jesus is this example that he gives us from his own life. He shows us what this can look like for our lives. And that's why we chose the reading we did of Jesus' baptism today, because in Jesus' baptism, we see this. I'm going to read this one verse again and listen closely to the order of things that happen here. It says, "A voice came from heaven and said, 'You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased.'" Friends, Jesus isn't baptized here for his own sake. He didn't need to go down in that water to get his sins all washed away. He was sinless, right? He's baptized so that we can see how this plays out in his life and understand that what happens to him, his experience there, is what happens to us in our baptism. And so these are the three things we see, and the order is everything. Notice that first God says, "You are my child." First, God says that, and then, "Because you are my child, you are beloved." God doesn't look at you and say, "You're a hot mess," or "You are not a you're kind of a mistake. I messed up." No, God says, "You are my beloved," right? And then, third, God says, "With you, I am well pleased." In this order. This order is everything because it's first that God says, "This is who you are. Never forget, you are my child." And because of that, you are beloved. Not because you did so much great stuff or because you are super special, because you are my child. That is why you are beloved. And then the amazing part, the third thing, get ready for this. God says, "I am pleased with you." And notice that God said this to Jesus before he did any of his ministry. I mean, the dude hadn't even done a single miracle yet. And here God says, "I am well pleased with you because you are my beloved." And nothing can change that. This order is so important. We have to remember this because it's everything. We foolish human beings are always getting it backwards. And man, it hurts when we do. And so to help see this, I have some images I put together for the screen here because the if identity works like this. The world says, if you are good enough, if you work hard enough, if you achieve, if you succeed, then you have value, then you have worth, and then from that, you are actually lovable. And then you start to find your purpose in the world to keep doing these things to earn it, right? And then if you do all that, then you have finally a good identity. And that's what it looks like. This is the if identity of the world. But God, the beloved identity, is the total opposite. It starts like this. It looks like this. God gives us our identity, beloved child. And out of that identity flows the things that we do in this world. That's where we find our purpose. Not to earn our identity, not to earn God's love, but because of God's love, we find our purpose in this world, and we live that out in our daily lives. And the thing is, when it works this way, then it goes back up, and it flows back into the arms of God over and over again to be reminded, to be renewed, to be recreated again and again and again. That's why we come back week after week to hear. And this, friends, this is the foundation of a God-first life. If we miss this, if we get this wrong, we will always struggle to be enough. We will always struggle with our sense of worth and value and trying to earn our love and approval. I mean, think about it. How many people do you know in your life who struggle with their value today, who struggle with their identity, who struggle with their enoughness, their worth? I think about parents who are struggling, who are one pressure point away from breaking. I think about some couples out there that are one rough fight away from ending things and calling it quits and walking away from that relationship. I think about that teenager that's one temptation away from a life-altering bad decision just because they long to fit in. So the question I want you to carry with you this week is this: who is one person in your life who needs to hear that they are beloved? Who is one person God has put on your heart who needs you to reach out to them, to love them, to remind them, or even tell them for the first time that they are God's beloved? Who needs to hear a story about a God who knows them fully and loves them completely? As you go out this week, may you believe and receive these words of God that you are God's beloved child. May you hold that in your heart and let that be always who you are. I invite you to pray with me. Gracious God, I give thanks for each person in this room who's been created in your image as beloved. God, the world often just throws so many messages at us that tell us otherwise, that put our worth and our identity on some sort of contingency plan. But God, no, you love us fully, you know us fully, and you love us completely. Help us to believe this in our lives, God, that we might be transformed each day more and more into your image, and that we might be bold enough to go out and share this love with a world that desperately needs to hear it, to feel it, to believe it. God, heal our hearts. Bring us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.